Everybody's talking at me.
CRN Digital Talk Radio, Chuck Wilder here. I got Swayed at the network. We're live across America and around the world at crntalk.com. Today's lineup, Judd Gerrick coming up in just a little bit. He is the author of No Wind, going to be talking about profiles and courage. Second hour, it's Selwyn Duke, writer for The New American, with all of his latest, including Girl Goes to College Normal, Then Has to Be Deprogrammed. Wait until you hear that story. Unbelievable. Well, not in these days, I guess. All right, let's take a look at some of the news and strange things going on. There's some wokeism at Arlington. Yep, Arlington National Cemetery is the latest casualty of woke council culture. Recently learned that the naming commission, initially proposed by Congress in 2021, to strip military bases of Confederate leader names, has just made Arlington National Cemetery the latest casualty of the military's woke cancel culture. Although the primary mission of the panel was to wipe references to the Confederacy from the U.S. military, it is now painfully evident the panel of eight did not stop with renaming. Their third and final report issued in September 19, 2022, includes the removal of a 108-year-old Confederate monument from Arlington National Cemetery. Has the panel overstepped its bounds to become like the busybodies in a homeowners association, eager to punish others for minor failings to cover up their own? And whatever happened to the earlier political promises that monuments and cemeteries would not be disturbed? Well, James Sanberry filed this report, says no firm date is known to implement the recommendations, but since this commission is part of the Defense Authorization Act, most should be completed before or during 2024. Although it did happen on his watch, don't blame Trump for this mess. Fox News noted that Congress created the commission in 2020 after lawmakers overrode a veto by President Trump, who opposed renaming bases that honor Confederate leaders. And obviously it took a bipartisan vote in both houses to override a presidential veto. Well, strange but true. Five Secret Service rental vehicles that were used by President Biden and his ratoon over the Thanksgiving weekend are now burned. The Secret Service vehicles burst into flames in a parking lot Monday. Yep, just one day after the president left his Nantucket vacation. Biden and his family spent Thanksgiving at the island retreat, and as reported by Fox News, the Secret Service rented five vehicles from Hertz for the president and his family. All five of them caught fire in a parking lot, according to the footage that was first obtained by the Nantucket Current. Firefighters sprayed down the smoking remains of one of the vehicles. The five vehicles included a Chevy Suburban, Ford Explorer, Infiniti QX80, a Ford Expedition, and a Jeep Gladiator. At approximately 5:22 a.m., Air Force shift staff observed an active fire in the rental car overflow area, though the airport's closed-circuit television station. The airport said in a statement to the Current, staff activated the alert system and responded to the fire in Airport 3, where they were met by responding units from Nantucket Fire Department and Nantucket Police Department. Quote, combined fire resources responded and contained the fire, and several vehicles were damaged. Now, it gets even more curiouser here, okay? It is unknown why five different vehicles would burst into flames on an airport tarmac, but there is virtually no chance that this is a case of spontaneous self-immolation. There are five different kinds of vehicles. Burning cars is often done when criminals or government agencies wish to dispose of evidence. These are the rental vehicles that were facing each other and had their front ends totaled by the fire. Chevy Suburban, Ford Explorer, Infiniti QX80, Ford Expedition, and the Jeep Gladiator. The cars were owned by Hertz and had just been returned by members of the Secret Service, who had been using them during President Biden's visit, according to sources. Now, there are a lot of people convinced that someone tried to take out Biden. A quote, "I'm not sure how burning his cars in an airport is trying to take out Joe, but many think that this was a plot that went wrong." And you look into it, you know, and there's like some cars may burn up, you know, some little faulty thing there, and maybe there was a quirk in it or whatever. But normally it all follows, you know, through a listener, according to, you know, maybe one or two different brands of cars that got something hooked up underneath their hood that wasn't working like it should have. But here you got a Chevy, a Ford, an Infiniti, another Ford, a Jeep. I don't know. Well, on November 8th, the American people fired House Speaker Nancy Pelosi. So why are some Senate Republicans giving her another spending bill to cram with wasteful spending and woke policies? Alabama Senator Richard Shelby, top Republican on the Senate Appropriations Committee, which oversees spending, told reporters that Congress should be working on the upcoming government funding bill until Christmas. Current funding runs out December 16th, and Shelby, Vermont Democrat Senator Patrick Leahy, House and Senate leadership have all been working together now to pass a big, omnibus spending bill, meaning it's several spending bills combined into one big package. It is the same playbook every year. They negotiate behind closed doors for a few months before springing a massive disaster of a spending spree on us at the last minute. Then Democrats go on TV to say Republicans are trying to shut down the government by not going along with everything they want. You know, perks here, perks there, perks everywhere. Well, the European Union, EU, reportedly threatened to ban Twitter from the continent if the company's new owner, Elon Musk, doesn't adhere to strict content moderation guidelines. This warning shot was fired by the EU industry chief, Terry Breton, who indicated that the guidelines of the Musk Twitter must follow were detailed in the European Commission's Digital Services Act. That was the DSA, yes. These guidelines include surrendering the platform to independent audits conducted by independent third parties and the implementation of mechanisms to adapt swiftly and efficiently in reaction to crises affecting public security or public health, among other things. Breton indicated that in order to prevent Twitter from being banned in Europe, the tech entrepreneur will have to part ways with his arbitrary approach to restraining the accounts of people previously banned from the platform. Musk must also surrender the platform onto an extensive independent audit by 2023. Reportedly, Breton told Musk that the platform must reinforce content moderation and aggressively root out, and here it is, disinformation. Now, what they don't tell you, yeah, root out disinformation, unless it's coming from the Democrats, right? On one hand, the EU stipulation sounds somewhat reasonable. After all, the DSA requires Twitter to report if criminals are using the platform to conduct illegal activities. On the other hand, this move is utterly deranged and should not be tolerated. Who is the EU to strong-arm an American company? Now, previously, Musk indicated that under him, Twitter would constrain itself to the laws of the land in which its users operate. And to be fair, this is a reasonable approach to doing business. After all, companies like Kellogg, They adhere to the standard laid out about from the European Food Safety Authority. But Twitter isn't in the business of producing breakfast cereals, and the regulation of a tech company is undoubtedly more complex than determining the appropriate ratio of high fructose corn syrup and yellow dye allowed in the product for mass consumption. The EU's gripe with Twitter, as indicated by Britain's statements, is the potential proliferation of information and speech that threaten and entrench interest of the ruling regime on the European continent. The fact that freedom of speech is largely a political phenomenon unique to the United States, and that big tech found its roots in the same country, isn't a coincidence. Neither is the fact that in its earliest days, big tech pioneers insisted that their inventions would be used for the proliferation of free speech around the globe. Boy, they let that go into the toilet, didn't they? The nativity of this short-lived, however, as the clinical realities of running massive transnational corporations became all too real. Previously, Twitter was one of the international managerial elite's favorite inventions because it allowed them to set and control the narratives that gave direction to the world's governments, markets, and more. And now that these people have lost control of the machine that they put at the center of their universe, they want it to be stripped of all its utility. All right. Hey, you want some quick COVID facts? All right. One in every 500 small children who receive the Pfizer vaccine are hospitalized. Huh? One in every 500 under 5 years who received Pfizer mRNA COVID vaccines were hospitalized with a vaccine injury, and one in 200 had symptoms ongoing for weeks or months afterward. This is a brand new study out. Study published in JAMA, J-A-M-A, indicated 7,806 children age 5 or younger who were followed up on the average of 91.4 days followed their first Pfizer vaccination. It was a retrospective cohort study done as an authentical online survey with a response rate of 41.1% in spring of 2022, which included parents or caregivers who registered children for SARS-CoV-2 vaccine in outpatient care facilities in Germany. It compared the adverse effects to those of the same children with other vaccinations in order to control for over-reporting. It concluded that the symptoms reported after Pfizer vaccination were comparable overall to all those other vaccines. So here were some of the remarks. Any symptoms, 62%. Muscles, bone symptoms, 155% higher. Dermatological skin symptoms, 118% higher. Ears, nose, throat symptoms, 537% higher. The heart, 36% higher. And stomachs, coming in with 54% higher. So there you go again. COVID, 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 and watch out. They're right around the corner right now, peeking at all of us, saying, oh, I think we need it back, don't we? Yes. All right. The one and only Judd Garrett, coming up next with his latest Profiles in Courage. Be right back.
Hello, everyone. Fred Dreyer here for Balance7.com. Do you suffer from low energy, acid reflux, heartburn, joint discomfort, or a weak immune system? Well, Balance 7 is your answer. Balance 7 dilutes the acid in your body and kickstarts your immune system. That's right. 3 sips a day is all you need. In 3 days, you will feel the difference. Balance 7 is my go-to drink to energize me every day. Stop taking those caffeinated, sugar-filled energy drinks. Balance 7. 7 works. Remember, a sick body is an acid body. So, cut the acid in your body with Balance 7. Go to Balance7.com or call 800-793-9039. Use the code word FRED to get $15 off your order and free shipping. Plus a money-back guarantee. Man, you can't beat this. Call 800-793-9039. That's 800-793-9039. Or go to Balance7.com. And don't forget the code word FRED.
Are you paying too much for term life insurance? There's a tremendous price war among the major term life companies. Rates have dropped dramatically in the past few years. For example, a man age 45 non-tobacco user, $1 million of coverage is only $75 per month, level for the next 10 years. Or a man age 50 non-tobacco user can buy $500,000 of coverage for a monthly premium of only $110. Guaranteed not to change for the next 20 years. That's right, level rates for 20 years. And if you're a smoker, we have great rates for you as well. At the Term Lifeline, we specialize in policies of $500,000 and above. So if you're looking for new or replacement term life insurance, call right now for a free quote.
Rates and availability may vary by state. Sample rate quotes are based on preferred non-tobacco underwriting exam required to qualify.
800-349-6855. 800-349-6855. 800-349-6855. That's 800-349-6855.
Let's talk about your credit cards. When you first start using them, it's a slow drip. You make charges, then more charges, then bills come, and they keep coming. When you open your statements, the floodgates come pouring in. You realize you have more credit card debt than you can afford, and you're barely making the minimum payments. Wouldn't it be nice to make one affordable payment and have all your credit card bills covered? Make this free call and learn our responsible way to get your credit card bills paid and under control.
Sponsored by Consumer Education Services, a nonprofit organization.
800-876-3643. 800-876-3643. 800-876-3643. That's 800-876-3643.
CESI is not a loan company. The establishment of a debt management plan may adversely affect your credit rating. Non-payment of debt may lead creditors to increase finance and other charges to undertake collection activity, including liquidation.
Everybody's talking at me.
CRN, Chuck Wilder here. And once again, my privilege to welcome back Mr. Judd Garrett. And let me tell you, listener, in case you don't know about this gentleman, after 6 years as a professional football player, including with the 1993 Super Bowl champion Dallas Cowboys, he began a 12-year coaching career with the Saints, Dolphins, Rams, Cowboys, served another 12 years as a personal executive with the Cowboys. He's written 2 screenplays, frequent contributor on the topics of sports and politics to Real Clear Politics, and the book No Wind is his first published novel. Judd is married, father of 6 children. And his website is objectivityistheobjective.com. Hey, I've missed you. How are you, sir? And welcome back.
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, you go away 1 week and I go, oh, no, what the, oh, yeah, anyway, I survive. Hey, the latest, Profiles in Courage. And you say, when I think about the United States of America, the one word that continually comes up is courage. Why is that? And I bet it's more than one word after it gets going.
Yeah, I mean, if you think of it, just start with the founding of our country. You know, our founders were extremely courageous people. I mean, if you think about it, all the people, the 56 men who signed the Declaration of Independence from, it was an independence from Great Britain, from England, they were all well-to-do people. They were well off. They could have easily just gone along with the way things were going, cut deals with King George, and lived a very happy, productive life. But you know what? They signed this Declaration of Independence. They saw that there was oppression and a lot of, you know, things, bad things that were going on from Great Britain, and they stood up to that. And by signing that document, basically they were risking their lives, because if the revolution failed, if we didn't win the revolution, all 56 of those men would have been hung. So they had everything going for them, and they risked it all for freedom and for individual rights, not for them, but for other people. and they were extremely courageous people.
In other words, they were facing being convicted of high treason, right? Because they were still being ruled by the King of England. So they all would have been hung, so to speak. Their bodies, you say, cut into quarters so their remains could be scattered abroad. And they do that so they'll find no resting peace. Kind of a, we showed you, didn't we? I don't think they were able to find out why they should be so disturbed, but of course, loved ones and all that. Pretty serious.
Yeah, and they'd have all their property, all their goods taken away, and then it would be mandated that none of their heirs could own property. So not only were they taking a risk for themselves, but they were taking a risk for their entire family. And then if you look at it, you know, if you go through what happened, you know, five of the signers were ended up captured and hung. Another 12 had their homes burned to the ground. 9 died in the war. A few others lost sons in the war. So
yeah, wow.
These men who could have easily lived a very easy, comfortable life, they gave up a whole lot for the rights and the freedoms that we're enjoying to this day.
And then when it comes to Abraham Lincoln, you said he could have easily turned a blind eye to the slavery, you know, probably just led his life going down, smoking a couple of pipes or whatever, you know. It's I don't know. It's sort of strange, Judd, that people today, you wonder how much do they realize the sacrifice that those signers actually went through.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's all put into a different context now that we're looking back on it. But you know, put yourself in their shoes at the time, and they had a whole heck of a lot to lose. Okay, they themselves personally didn't have a whole lot to gain, and you know, what were the chances that the revolution was actually going to succeed? I mean, the British had the greatest standing army, you know, in the world at that point. So they were going up, you know, the odds were against them, but they went in anyway, and they went and did it, and, you know, it was very courageous. And you talk about Abraham Lincoln, you brought him up. I mean, he was the next person I brought up in my article. You know, no president wants to go into the presidency and you know, preside over a civil war. I mean, that's death to your presidency. You know, so he could have easily taken steps to avoid the civil war. He could have said to the southern states, you know, you can continue to have slavery. I'll turn a blind eye to that. Let's just keep the peace. Let's not have a civil war. I don't want to destroy my presidency. He could have done that, but you know what? He stood up to slavery.
Right.
He wanted to abolish it.
He did it because he was willing to do it, because he had the courage to do what was right. Judd Garrett will be right back after these few words.
Now it's time for MedVed's Entertainment Minute.
Michelle Williams and Paul Dano co-star as the parents of a young boy growing up in the 1950s who's addicted to making movies in Steven Spielberg's frankly autobiographical The Fablemans, now playing in theaters.
What kind of movie are we going to make?
You stop making movies, it'll break your mother's heart.
I don't know what to do anymore.
Family, it'll tear you in two.
You do what your heart says you have to.
The cast is consistently superb, including Judd Hirsch in a small part as a visiting uncle. And this substantial film, 2.5 hours long, never lags for a moment with its heartfelt and unforgettable characterizations. The theme that even deeply loving families have their mysteries and surprises combines with a coming-of-age story that will naturally receive intense Oscar attention. Rated PG-13 for some scenes of pain and heartbreak, 4 stars for the marvelous The Fablemans.
What are you so happy about?
I'm on the pill.
Aren't you two a bit old to worry about having more kids?
Not her, me.
You lost me there, buddy.
Steel Man pills. Things weren't always looking up, if you catch my drift. So, my doctor prescribed me a little something.
Like Viagra?
Yeah, but that's expensive, and it wasn't covered by my insurance. Steel Man pills cost me less than $3 a pill, and virtually the same effect. I just called and got over 40 pills for only $99.
I have this friend who might be looking and...
Well, if your friend wants some help, the consultation is free over the phone. No clinic. Steel Man pills sends it in the mail in a confidential package.
I'm on it. I mean, my friend will be on it.
Steel Man Pills. Going the extra mile to help men with erectile dysfunction.
800-605-1683. 800-605-1683. 800-605-1683. That's 800-605-1683.
For the getaway of your dreams, come to Hawaii's Playground, Ka'anapali Beach Resort, on the fun side of Maui, where the world comes to play. Find your spot on Ka'anapali Beach with 3 miles of white sand, 12 resort properties, 2 golf courses, and 2 shopping centers. Enjoy the playground of Hawaii's ancient royalty. Ka'anapali Beach Resort is Hawaii's original master planned destination resort and home of the Hawaii Food and Wine Festival. With views of 2 neighboring islands, you can breathe in the land's natural beauty from your favorite resort or golf fairway. Come experience Ka'anapali's own special brand of Hawaiian hospitality with world-class dining, relaxing resorts, water sports, and activities of every kind. For romantic, family, and great friend getaways, discover the options of Ka'anapali Beach Resort, where the world comes to play. Plan your getaway today. Visit ka'anapaliresort.com. That's K-A-A-N-A-P-A-L-I-Resort.com.
The smartest way for you to get the lowest prices on your plane tickets, domestic or international, is to call SmartFares, first or last, but you've got to call us before you book your plane tickets. Fly anywhere in the world, fly anywhere in the U.S., and SmartFares can save you up to 75% on your plane tickets. We have the lowest airline ticket prices on over 500 airlines, and you've got a great 12-hour free cancellation window. Plus, with our live agent help, you can always get fast help and fast answers. So on your next trip, maybe today, maybe tomorrow, how about right now? Pick up your phone and call SmartFares. Plus, save up to 75% on your plane reservation. So call right now. 800-915-2644. 800-915-2644. 800-915-2644. 800-915-2644.
Everybody's talking at me. CRN, Chuck Wilder with my guest, Judd Garrett. You know, and Judd, sometimes you state here the facts of the war, you know, and the fact that the Union soldiers, you know, they didn't need to fight this war because they didn't have slavery in the North. And it's sort of like you would think, a lot of protests, right? Hey, we have nothing to do with them. You know, let them have their own life. Leave us alone. We don't want to sacrifice our lives. So it took a lot to bring this about, and thank God they did it.
Yeah, I mean, if you think about it, hundreds of thousands, I think the number is close to 300,000 Union soldiers laid down their lives fighting the Civil War. You know, and I mean, to put in perspective, I think we lost about 5,000 in the Iraq War. So compare the 5,000, and obviously every one of those 5,000 is a tragedy, so I don't want to diminish that. But, I mean, compare that to, you know, 200,000 to 300,000 that we lost, you know, the Union Army during the Civil War. But like you said, those guys didn't need to go to war. There was no slavery in the North at that time. They could have just let the South secede and continue with slavery, but... You know, they stood up and they fought and they laid down their lives, you know, and it was a brutal conflict. You know, that they didn't have the modern medicine like we have now,
right,
with penicillin,
right,
and skin grafts and artificial limbs and all that other stuff. I mean, you get wounded in that war, I mean, that's almost like a death sentence in and of itself. And, you know, so they went in and they fought and they stood up for other people's rights and other people's freedoms. And it was an extremely courageous decision for all those soldiers to commit to.
Well, and you know, in this article, you mentioned 600,000. That's 000, 600,000 American soldiers gave their lives to liberate Europe and Asia, and over 100,000 young men stormed the beaches of Normandy with one of the highest projected casualty rates of any battle in the U.S. history. Well, that's got to be a misprint, Judd, because, you know, according to the Republicans, you know, no, January 6th was worse than the Normandy landing. So, wow, you made a mistake there. A mistake, I'm sorry. Boy, can you know, that upsets me so much when they compare Normandy and Pearl Harbor. And, you know, it's, I don't know. It's like, if you don't know they're stupid under those comments, then something's wrong with you.
Well, I think that's a little bit of what this article is getting at. I mean, there's true courage throughout the history of the United States, and as you pointed to, all the people that went to war in World War II, the men that stormed the beaches of Normandy, that was real courage that it took to get off those boats and try to land on that beach when they're taking on hostile gunfire from the Germans. And you know, the people today in 2022, they think, you know, a group of elderly people entering the capital, that's the equivalent of the Normandy invasion. They have no idea what true courage is all about.
Yeah, and then you talk about the civil rights movement, 1950s, the 60s. What was it, one?
Yeah,
set
I mean,
in? Yeah, go ahead.
If you think about courage, I mean, you know, Rosa Parks, it took a lot of courage. You know, back in the 1950s, you know, black people were supposed to sit in a certain part of the bus, and she didn't want to give her seat to a white man, and she stood up, and that was extremely courageous. And you know, the four North Carolina A&T students who conducted the sit-in at the Woolworth's lunch counter, and obviously Martin Luther King and everything that he did. I mean, to stand up against, you know, what was going on in our country, you know, 60, 70 years ago, that took a whole heck of a lot of courage. That was real courage on display, and obviously created a lot of positive change for our country.
And today, the meter is showing very little courage, right?
Yeah, there's such a lack of courage these days. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, I brought up the comedians. I mean, it's hard to even watch comedians these days. Everyone's so afraid to say the wrong thing, because someone may say something bad about them on Twitter, or they may try to be canceled. Yeah. You know, people are so unwilling to stand up for their rights and stand up for what they believe, because they're afraid they may get canceled or something like that. And, you know, I just think back on all the people we just talked about. You know, everyone else was willing to lay down their lives for freedom of speech and you know, the right to vote and all these things. And nowadays, people are afraid to speak out because they may get canceled, or, you know, someone may say something bad about them on Twitter.
Yeah, and it's sort of easy now, like Judd brings up, that now, right now, you see all these people nodding their head, you know, like the little bobbleheads. Remember the ones you put on the dash on the car? Those are the ones you're talking about, right? That just keep going back and forth and sideways and yes, 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 yes. Whatever you say, yes, yes, yes. Yeah, don't call him a man, okay? Call him a they. But there's only one of them. Don't argue with me. You haven't woke up yet, yes. And Hollywood actors, you know, they seem to have a different, I don't know what it is, put together differently than everybody else once you become an actor, the majority of them,
yeah,
anyway.
I mean, they think they're better than everybody else once they become a Hollywood actor. And what happens,
some sports figures, too. Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, and you're constantly lectured by these people, like you said, whether it's sports figures or Hollywood actors, and you know lecturing America about how bad America is, but they say nothing about what's going on in China, you know, and you know, in fact, in Hollywood allows China to censor a lot of their movies to mm-hmm. change some endings and change content because it looks bad for, you know, the Chinese Communist Party. And so we're going to get these lectures, these virtue signals from, you know, Hollywood actors while they are working in lockstep with one of the most brutal, human rights violators on the planet, China.
And I'll tell you, I bring this up quite frequently. A lot of people, you know, you leave a movie as soon as it ends. You don't want to, you know, hang around for the credits. Used to, you'd hang around to see if they had another surprise ending. But they seems like they don't even do that anymore. But if you hang around, you will notice that a lot of the credits are actually written in Chinese. You know, I've noticed that. I don't go to that many movies anymore, but...
Wow.
I mean, and it was a shocker the first time I saw it. And
yeah, I haven't noticed, I'll look for that from here on out, but I haven't noticed that. Wow.
Yeah, yeah. There, even in the beginning, sometimes you'll see the little Chinese character writing or whatever you call it. I guess you just call it Chinese writing.
Yeah.
You say, and it's strange that so many courageous people over the last 10 years are some of the people we would least expect. You know, Donald Trump, all right, multi-billionaire. I almost made him lose a lot of money there. But then again, I don't know how much they took on the raid on his house, so maybe he's a millionaire now instead of a billionaire. But anyway, you know, here's a guy, and I think it really made the other side mad due to the fact that he didn't have to worry about money or fame or who is this guy, you know. He'd even been an actor, you know what I mean? He was in the one there, you know, in the, what's the little kids, gosh, can't think of it right now, but, they did a remake on the, all of the kids that were, you know, together. Anyway, he didn't need it. He didn't even need the job as president, but he took it on, you know, and he was already a billionaire. So, you know, he didn't have to make special deals so that he could get rich. You know, he wasn't kissing up to China or anybody like that. He wasn't known as the big man or the number one man or whatever.
Yeah, he was a multi-billionaire, and, you know, he was famous, and, you know, he had everything in his life going for him. He didn't need to take on the job of the presidency, you know, for any other reason. If you think about a guy like Barack Obama, mm-hmm. you know, Obama was worth about $100,000 when he stepped into the office of the presidency, and when he left, he was worth over $100 million. So, I mean, it's just most people go to Washington and they become much wealthier. Trump is the only guy who went to Washington and lost hundreds of millions of dollars. So he reminded me a lot of the founders. The founders could have just cut deals with King George and yeah. and lived a very comfortable life and been happy, but they risked everything. Trump, you know, could have just continued to cut deals with the politicians and lived a very, very comfortable life. But you know what? He threw himself in there and he tried to fix the problems and do what was right for the country. And again, he's been attacked unrelentingly for the last 5 to 6 years from all sides.
Yeah. And I'll tell you, listener, you bring up Obama, okay? Obama wasn't a millionaire. He was just barely maybe a thousandaire, okay, whenever he went into office. But look at him now. You know, he's got like three different residencies, and the one in, you know, the garden there, whatever they call it, it's right on the ocean. So apparently you know all this stuff about global warming. You know, all of them that have those houses right there next to the ocean, they know that you're the sucker, okay? And I don't know how Obama got all that money, but his salary sure didn't go up that high to have the three mansions he owns or whatever. And you can't really put somebody down because they're successful and they can own three houses. But then again, when you're the president and you have a set salary, you kind of wonder, where did all that money come from? And then look at Hillary and Bill Clinton. Once she sold the uranium... was that what it was? Uranium, I think. But anyway, all of a sudden, Bill starts getting, you know, speaking engagements in Russia for four times the amount he got anywhere else.
Yeah, I mean, the Clintons are probably the worst example of it because you're exactly right. You know, when it looked like Hillary was going to win the presidency back in 2015, 2016, you know, Bill was getting... You know, speaking engagements, like you said, $500,000, $700,000 for a 20-minute speech. And then after she lost the presidency, that number went down to about $25,000 for 15-minute speech. So obviously that money was being funneled to the Clintons for other purposes other than listening to what Bill had to say.
Mm-hmm. You know, and it is possible, you know, that Trump became so wealthy because he knew the system they were using. I think you kind of touched on here. Let me see about, because I read this a while back. Trump, he could have chosen the easy way. Instead, he chose the courageous path. He had seen from the inside how corrupt America had become, and he set out to fix it. He knew exactly how the wealthy used their money to influence American politics for their own gain and not so much for the betterment of the country, because he played that game for a long time, and he got rich off playing that game. But you remember whenever, you know, he would go to some big star that had a TV show or whatever, and they would say, oh, you got to run for president, you got to run for president, you know, and those were the Democrats telling him that at the time. Trying to think of the black lady that had the show that really was pushing him so much, you know, and she's rich.
Is it
too.
Oprah?
Yes, thank you. Yeah, Oprah.
Trump had played the game for a long time, and he knew the way the game worked. And I think at some point he got fed up with the way the game was being played because he saw how bad it was for the country, and he was willing to give up a lot of that, you know, to do what was right for the American people, and all the powerful entities that he had been aligned with, they all came crashing down on him when he was going to expose what was going on.
You know, and he didn't do it to make himself a lot better. He did so many things. I mean, you talk about people that he got out of prison that shouldn't have been locked up, and all the things he did for blacks. And there were so many stories, whenever it comes to blacks, okay, that was never, ever reported until Trump came out as president, about different things he had done, you know, under the cover, so to speak, because he didn't want the notoriety for doing it. You know, that was just the way he was, you know. And look at all the way that jobs went up when he was president. Look what he did with North Korea. We didn't have any missiles being shot out like they're doing right now again. But you know what? The Democrats hated it, and they still do. Go ahead.
His record speaks for itself. Like you said, you know, unemployment with blacks and Hispanics were an all-time low. Wages were at an all-time high for the same group. You know, he had about 5 Middle East peace deals that he helped broker. So, I mean, energy independence, all of that. I mean, his record clearly spoke for itself because he was one of the few presidents who got into office and didn't have to pay back, you know, billionaire donors who got him elected, and he could just do what was best for the American people, and the power brokers, those billionaire donors, and the people who are benefiting from them, could not stand that because they felt that their livelihood was being threatened.
You know, and there's another guy on the scene right now that you bring up in this excellent article, and we got about 40 seconds for the break, but. Judge says, here it is, I think about Elon Musk, the richest man in the world. He could have simply continued on doing what he was doing and further enrich himself the way Bill Gates, Jeff Bezos, Mark Zuckerberg do, but he decided, no, I'm gonna be a nice guy, and he's just another example of the way that people can be nice and also be very smart with their money. We're going to continue and wrap things up here in just a moment with Judd Garrett. Remember to go to his website, objectivityistheobjective.com. It's a long one, but it's easy to remember if you say it a few times. Objectivityistheobjective.com. Be right back.
You experiencing pain? Back pain, shoulder, elbow, or hand pain? Pain from a sports injury? If so, schedule a visit with Dr. Michael Sheps, the leading expert in laser therapy for pain management. Call 310-873-4422 or go to drsheps.com. Experience Epic T, the breakthrough laser therapy system that Dr. Sheps developed to make you pain-free in less time. Laser therapy is a non-invasive, safe, and effective in-office procedure that penetrates deep into your skin without damaging the tissue. It perfectly targets areas of pain to promote fast, natural healing. Relax your muscles, ease muscle spasms, joint stiffness, and arthritis pain while increasing blood circulation. For over 25 years, Dr. Sheps has helped Olympic athletes and sports enthusiasts alike get back in the game. Schedule your visit with Dr. Sheps at his Brentwood office in California. Call 310-873-4422 or visit drsheps.com. That's drsheps.com, 310-873-4422.
Do you want to fly somewhere, anywhere in the world? Smart travelers call myflightsearch.com for the best deals on flight tickets. Going to Manila, Bangkok, London, how about Singapore? Call myflightsearch.com for the lowest flight tickets available. What about a local vacation? Let's say you want to fly to Vegas, Orlando, Miami, Los Angeles, or Denver. Pick up the phone and call myflightsearch.com right now. We have exclusive deals that you can't find anywhere else. The only way you can get these low airline prices is by calling us. We have so many low prices available, we can't possibly tell them to you right here and now. If you're flying somewhere anytime in the next 6 months and you want the lowest airline ticket prices anywhere, you owe it to yourself to save a ton of money. So pick up your cell phone and call myflightsearch.com right now.
Call 800-445-3166. 800-445-3166. That's 800-445-3166. Call now. 800-445-3166.
What are you going to do with your old car? You can try selling it. You could junk it. Or you could donate it to Heritage for the Blind. Your car will be towed away for free, and your donation is tax deductible. Just call 1-800-785-9618. Heritage for the Blind accepts cars, vans, trucks, and boats. It doesn't matter if your vehicle runs or not. It will be towed away for free, and you'll be supporting those that need help. Heritage for the Blind is a nonprofit organization that helps the visually impaired live fuller lives. Call right now to donate your car, and as a special thank you for calling, you'll receive a free 3-day vacation voucher to many exciting locations. Call Heritage for the Blind right now, 1-800-785-9618. Donating is easy, and your vehicle is towed away for free. Plus, you'll get a free vacation voucher. Call now, 1-800-785-9618. That's 1-800-785-9618.
Everybody's talking at me.
CRN, Chuck Wilder with Judd Garrett. Author of No Wind, available at Amazon, and his website, objectivityistheobjective.com. So why did you think Musk decide to buy Twitter?
Well, I think he saw what was going on and how Twitter was unfairly influencing elections and influencing the political debate, and he decided to step in and fix that. And you know, by no means is Elon Musk a conservative or a right winger, but even somebody who is coming probably from left to center, you know, political point of view, he saw that what was going on with the social media companies and the way they were censoring and the way they were steering the political debate to the left was absolutely wrong, and it's harmful for the country. And he felt like he wanted to step in and fix that.
Yeah, and he had a pretty good comment you have in here whenever he was talking about his Tesla, right? In a 2018 interview with Leslie Stahl,
he said, we open sourced our patents, so anyone who wants to use our patents can use them for free. If somebody comes and makes a better electric car than Tesla, and it's so much better than ours, and we can't sell our cars and we go bankrupt, I still think that's a good thing for the world. And that falls right in line with him buying Twitter, because I think a lot of people look at, you know, him purchasing Twitter as sort of a poor, financial decision. He's probably going to lose billions off of that purchase, but he's trying to do what's right for the country. And it's the same thing as is open source and his patents. If someone's going to come and make a better electric car using his patents, he thinks that's what's good for the world, even if it's bad for his company.
Yeah, boy, you know, that shows a lot of class, Judd. Really, really, really. And, you know, in the closing comments on this, and I don't think we have all the time to get it in, but Judd says, where is the courage in the world today? It has been displayed as all throughout China in the past few weeks because of the big protests going on there. And I mean, you know, when you protest against the Chinese, goes back to the very beginning of this comment, you know, the beginning of this interview with Judd about, you know, you didn't have to do this, you know, but they did it a long time ago, a long, long time ago, to try to make things better. And that's what the Chinese people are basically doing. But, boy, they're going through hell for it, that's for sure. And when you hear about, you know, being locked up in your houses or your apartments so you can't get any food, water, or whatever, that's one of the punishments. It takes a lot to protest in China, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, because it's a losing battle. I mean, they're disarmed, so they have no way to fight. You know, the Chinese army is extremely strong and powerful. They're going to shut down the protest, and I think the only way that the protest wins is if the people holding the guns get tired of shooting them, and say, you know what, we can't do this anymore. And that's going to cost a lot of lives, but again, that's real, real, real courageous on their part.
And good luck on any help from the United States of America, the way it is now. Wow. And I don't think you'd said that for a long, long time. Well, Judd, I always appreciate our visit, and I look forward to the next one, sir, each and every time. And I want the listener to go to your website, objectivityistheobjective.com, some of the best reports you'll see will come out of that. Those few words, okay, I got it. Objectivityistheobjective.com. You know, I washed my tongue today and it's not working. Hey, thank you very much, sir. Look forward to our next visit.
Thanks for having me.
All right. Selwyn Duke is coming up next. Oh, wait till you hear about this poor college girl. Yeah, I mean, unbelievable.
Everybody's talking at me.
CRN Digital Talk Radio, Chuck Wilder here. Swayed at the network. We're live across America and around the world at crntalk.com. Yes. Want to tell you, he's here. That's right, the world famous Selwyn Duke. He's writer for The New American. And Selwyn has also contributed to college textbooks published by Gale Synage Learning. He appears on many television and frequent guest on a lot of radio shows. His website is Selwyn Duke, that's D-U-K-E, SelwynDuke.com. And now, ladies and gentlemen, here comes the Duke.
Duke, 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 Duke of Earl, 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 Duke, 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 Duke of Earl, Duke, Duke, Duke of Earl,
Yes, sir. Boy, the money we spent for that intro, Selwyn. I mean, it'll just blow the lid right off, right off your pocketbook.
I hope it didn't break the bank, Chuck. How are you, and how was your Thanksgiving?
My Thanksgiving was really good, and what we did, we borrowed more money so that now we can play the Duke at the bottom of the hour, too, see?
Oh, look at that. Yeah, well, so I appreciate that more than you know.
Okay, you don't get tired of it, right?
No, not yet. I just do my dancing here as I listen to it. You got to loosen up to prepare for your appearance. That's how it works, just like a professional athlete, right?
And I want the listener to know you gave it away. He dances to that music. And the reason we do the short version is because Duke has a habit when he dances, he starts taking his clothes off. And I don't know where that came from, but it's anyway. Wow. You know what? This first story we're going to develop here, Well, wait a minute, though. You know what? I don't think it is the first one. No, it's the second one because you had another newer one. The second one is The Girl Goes to the College, okay? When we get to that one, listener, that's a red flag story. We'll label that one a red flag story, okay? But first, with the Duke, Chuck, yes. The first with Selwyn, I want to talk about Arrested Development. Paper plays dumb on why schools call police on kids. You say that 2 weeks ago, the New American reported on a New York Times essay titled How Britain's Crackdown on Gangs Disappointingly Targets Young Black Men. Let's get into this one, shall we? It turns out to be very interesting, listener.
Yeah. Well, Chuck, I mentioned that because that was a case study in media propaganda. The New York Times had this essay. They were saying, well, this crackdown disproportionately targets young black men, but they didn't actually explain how it did that. What they did was they provided a series of human interest stories designed to manipulate emotion. And I said, well, sure enough, this happens all the time. Now USA Today has gotten in on the act. So they had this headline recently: why do kids as young as 5 or 6 still get arrested at schools? But they didn't actually explain why. Okay, now, of course, as I put it in my article, well, at least the media, Chuck, still do have the who, what, where, and when of journalism. They've got that. But anyway, so USA Today also joined the Times in playing the race card. They claim that punishments are, quote, often applied unfairly to black children. Now, it wasn't reported, though, Chuck, whether this disparate treatment could have anything at all to do with disparate behavior. But anyway, yeah.
Like
that's not
the main
point.
Like a scale of 1 to 10, right?
Yeah. I mean, It's funny because they also did mention that the kids arrested are usually boys, but they didn't play the sexism card. Uh-huh. They didn't say, well, why are all these boys getting arrested when relatively few girls get arrested? But
Right. Anyway,
you know, it's so ridiculous because you look at what they're talking about, and it is preposterous that our society has reached a point where we're actually using the police to deal with young grade schoolers. I will agree with that. But the reason why the USA Today, like I said, didn't mention it in its 7,000-word essay. It was actually 7,000 words. I mean, talk about a slog.
Wow.
But we should, yeah. I think the,
that's
they
a two-hour radio show, you know. Yeah.
Yeah, really. My average article is about 950 words because, after all, brevity is more than just the soul of wit. But anyway, we should state right off the bat why young kids in elementary school are sometimes being arrested by police. And it's for the same reason why parents, Chuck, now sometimes call the police on their young kids. Because in our society, schools, and this is true of parents too, to a lesser degree, are very severely hampered with respect to their ability to enforce discipline. That's the issue. If a kid gets physical today in school, okay, and that's not uncommon, you have to respond with physicality. And what I mean is, it may simply mean restraining a violent, out-of-control kid, but that's what you have to do. You have to do something if a child is attacking a teacher or another child. But we know, Chuck, that corporal punishment was once accepted in the schools, but now that's no longer the case. Now we've done a 180-degree about-face. Teachers might be afraid to even touch a child because they're worried about sparking a lawsuit, they're worried about losing their jobs. So what happens? The teachers simply wash their hands of the whole matter, and they outsource, as I put it, this discipline to the police. That's what's going on. Okay, in fact, the USA Today even mentioned the case of a teacher who, quote, is not allowed to break up fights or restrain children. And you know what happened in that case? Well, the paper admits this. One day after a child attacked that teacher, the child was able to run outside and into traffic. That's a really good system, huh?
Wow.
So, you know, here's the whole thing, though. If people are going to complain about this standard where the teachers are outsourcing discipline to the police, then they have to consider something. Unless you want to accept anarchy, there are only two choices here. The necessary physical action is going to have to be exercised in-house by the school staff or by the cops. It's going to be one or the other. You take your pick. You know?
Now, before you go any further, you remember you were talking about how the parents even were calling the police And when the police on their children. What I really think is because the parents of today were also those school children that were getting treated under a different system than the older people were getting insisted on. You know, like what mom and what your grandfather, you know, today, what they already went through, you know, they didn't have all this, you know, extra, let us identify this as this and this as this, you know. You know what I'm trying to say? Is that the parents grew up in that system also, where perhaps the police were getting called on them when they were in school, you see?
Yeah. Well,
doesn't
look,
fall
it's a
from the tree,
problem.
I think, might have been the easiest way to say it, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's a systemic problem. There's no doubt about it, but I'm going to get to that. But, you know, it's funny, USA Today doesn't talk about this. They mention that there are approximately 130 young children who are arrested in school yearly, right? And they do provide examples, but their examples are not ones like these, which I have in my article. There recently, Chuck, was a five-year-old in Florida who reportedly battered a teacher so badly that she required hospital treatment. You can look it up. I know it sounds hard to believe, but that's the story came from credible sources. In New Jersey, there was a sixth grader who struck an educator, and he caused nerve damage. Get this one. In Georgia, there were third graders who plotted to attack a teacher, and get this, they were in possession of a broken steak knife, handcuffs, duct tape, and other items for the job, okay? And overall, the better part of 200,000 educators are attacked by students every year. But we didn't hear about any of those cases from the USA Today, but even so, even with the cases it does cite, it doesn't really help its cause. Now, it introduces, Chuck, the first one like this. Her dark eyes shone. Her black curls bounced. This was Kaya Roll, a diva who hugged strangers. I mean, sounds so beautiful. Again, human interest story designed to manipulate emotion. But then you find out what actually happened. One day in 2019... the teacher said she couldn't wear sunglasses in class. She got very upset. They took the sunglasses away. Then she started, quote, screaming, kicking, and hitting staffers, as USA Today puts it, then tried to run away. Okay, when a teacher's aide tried to lead her to an office, staffers actually had to block the doors. So the police were called.
Wow.
Then there was another case they cited. Evelyn Towery, who is now 21. In 2009, she was arrested after she, quote, kicked, yelled, spit, and hit, and pinched her teacher's, put it delicately, upper private area hard, okay? Then there was 7-year-old Malachi Pryor. After a shoving match with another boy in 2019, Chuck, he was let outside his classroom, but he resisted by sitting down, and then he was restrained, according to USA Today, by a security officer, dragged down the hallway in front of other students, and eventually handcuffed, but he wasn't charged. Now, here's the whole thing. If you read these kids' background stories at USA Today, you can do that. Maybe you'll conclude that perhaps their cases weren't handled in an ideal fashion, or perhaps they were. But that's not what's most striking here. The paper is focusing on this idea that school resource officers are arresting young children for attacking teachers. But the most striking thing, Chuck, is that young children are attacking teachers in the first place.
Yes.
That's what should absolutely make us think, what is going on with the society? I attended school, Chuck, in the Bronx in the 1970s, okay? And let me tell you, it was a working-class neighborhood, but I don't ever remember a child at any point getting physical with or resisting a teacher. Okay, it just did not happen. And no, we weren't angels, but we got much better parental discipline back then, and we were taught boundaries. We were conditioned to know boundaries. There's no way we would have attacked an authority figure. I never saw that happen at any level of my schooling, not junior high school in the Bronx, not high school. Well, I did go to the Bronx High School of Science, so I guess in that school, if they're going to do anything to an educator, they'd be more likely to maybe invent some new poison to use on. I don't know. But joking aside, you know, I also mentioned Walter Williams in my article, the late economics professor. He mentioned that when he went to high school in the 50s, the worst behavior problems you heard of were chewing gum in class and running in the hallways.
Isn't that amazing?
So,
yeah.
So what changed? Well, that's a very, very long story, right? But if you want to put it very, very simply, I quoted psychologist John Rosemond in my article. He said, well, just as you can fall victim to a dysfunctional ideology in society, you can fall victim to a dysfunctional parenting paradigm, parenting model. And that's what's happened. To put it very plainly, we've embraced this liberalism-enabled permissiveness. That's a big, big part of it. You just see that it's a systemic problem, as we said earlier, Chuck. The parents don't want to discipline. They're told, oh, if you strike a child, that's the worst thing in the world. I mean, there's so much we could say about this, but ever since we went down this road of permissiveness, things have not gotten better. Ever since we embraced this Dr. Spock style of parenting, and I'm not alluding now to Star Trek, as you know, Chuck, but I'm alluding to Dr. Spock, that parenting advice expert or so-called expert who was pretty popular in the 1960s. So, you know, it's just absolutely ridiculous. But USA Today, like I said, doesn't delve into any of these things, even though it had 7,000 words. Instead, it talks about how Kaya, the girl mentioned earlier, is now traumatized and that her, quote, trauma has become stuck in the amygdala, creating emotional explosions. And as I put it, you know, unless this is a new phase of human development, Chuck, I'm pretty sure we had amygdalas in the 1970s. In fact, Walter Williams might have even had an amygdala in the 50s. But you know what? We didn't act like animals. Now, I know we're coming up on a break, so maybe I'll leave it there, but there is more I want to say.
we got 20 seconds, and on the other side, we'll get to the last paragraph there. I remember in my school we had what was called the DH. You got another DH, and that was detention hall. And I got so many of them, you know, I just automatically reported there almost every other day, right? And then one time it ran out that I'd already used them all up, and I got another one, and I said, ha-ha, I don't have to go because I have a free one. She said, okay, now you have two DHs. Oh, they always have a way to get around things, don't they? So, you know, I was a talker even back then. Selwyn Duke, all right? And it's selwynduke.com. We'll be back with the rest of this story, and we're going to be getting to the girl that goes to college, and she was normal at that time. Be back.
Do you have Medicare and do you use a CPAP machine? This is a national health care alert regarding your CPAP supplies. Using a clean CPAP mask and clean supplies is important to staying healthy. The best way to make sure your CPAP equipment is clean is to get new supplies. If you have Medicare, we have great news. Medicare will pay for you to have new clean supplies every 90 days. We'll even do all the paperwork for you to make sure that there's little to no out-of-pocket cost to you. And you don't even have to leave your home. We provide free in-home delivery. So if you're a CPAP user and you have Medicare, staying healthy with new CPAP equipment is easy. Just make this free phone call right now to get started.
Sponsored by Specialty Medical. 800-846-2153. 800-846-2153. 800-846-2153. That's 800-846-2153.
Attention real estate investors. Do you need cash immediately? If you own one or multiple rental properties, you can use your equity to get cash out fast. The best part is we don't need tax returns or even a good credit score. At America's Loan Source, we are not a bank and we don't have bank rules. We make the decisions to loan you money and there's no limit how much we can give you. Some clients have gotten as much as $500,000 or more within days. Use the money any way you want. If you own one rental property or 100, and COVID has left you in a cash crunch, we can help you turn your equity into fast cash. Call now for details and close in as little as 10 days and get the cash you need. 800-353-1760. 800-353-1760. 800-353-1760. That's 800-353-1760.
When you really want Italian food, you have got to get to Colombo's. Colombo's Italian Steakhouse and Jazz Club. Colorado Boulevard, Eagle Rock. It's that little neighborhood place you wish was down the street from you. Today, it seems so hard to enjoy just a little bit of easy. So much of life seems to get in the way. But fear not, seekers of fabulous food and fun and thrill. Columbo's is Southern California's answer to Easy Street. Great grub with some of the finest steaks, the freshest fish awaiting for you to devour. Did I mention Columbo's family Italian recipes? Columbo's spaghetti bolognese, their chicken pesto ravioli, Magnifico, and of course, the world's greatest meatballs. I can go on. But why go on when you can go on over to Columbo's and experience delicious and easy for yourself? Columbo's, of course, that little neighborhood place you wish was down the street from you. Columbo's, mind you been.
Everybody's talking at me. Chuck Wilder, CRN, with my guest Selwyn Duke, writer for The New American, and his website selwynduke.com, discussing one of his recent arrested development. Paper plays dumb on why schools call police on kids, and so we'll give you the rest of the story now. Go ahead, Selwyn.
Yeah, well, I just wanted to say, I mean, this is a social barometer, and it's so striking, Chuck, that we have children, young children, attacking teachers across the nation, and all liberals can think to do is talk about the fact that the police are intervening. And there's something else they don't think about here. They're talking about all these kids, and they're trying to make you feel sorry for them in the article, and maybe you should, but mainly because the kids obviously have wanting parents and are in a school system that can't step into the breach and give them what their parents don't provide. But they don't ask a question here that's very, very significant. If you're attacking a teacher when you're 6 years old, is it possible that you might grow up to be the kind of kid who at 18 will attack a cop? Huh? And then if that happens and the kid gets shot, who are they going to blame? Then they're going to blame the poor cop, right? You know, the whole thing here, Chuck, is that children are born little barbarians. That's the bottom line. They have no emotional control at all. They have no moral compass except what you might have naturally. Some people say morality is written on the human heart. That's what I'm talking about. But I'm saying if they're angry, they lash out, they cry all the time. That's the way they're supposed to be. But a parent's job and the society's job is to civilize them. It's very, very important. And if you don't do that effectively, civilize a generation, you know what happens when that generation grows up? You don't have civilization anymore because you have a society that's full of barbaric people. And that's what's happening to us more and more. And that's what this is indicative of. So instead of complaining about the police, that's what we should be looking at. But no, the USA Today and all the other liberal media and the school systems, really, and all of academia and entertainment, they're all enabling this. They're just exacerbating the problem. That's why I said it's a systemic issue. Everyone has fallen victim to this false philosophical foundation and this flawed parenting paradigm. It's very, very destructive, and it doesn't bode well for a civilization. But one thing it definitely does do, Chuck, is it does create very good foot soldiers for the left, because when you raise kids incorrectly, when they're never really civilized, when they're governed by their base instincts, you know what? They end up voting for horrible politicians, politicians who will pander to their vice. That's what happens. So yeah, it's very convenient, I guess, for certain people who want power.
You know, I want to take a minute or so to ask you a question. Did you ever go to school, Selwyn, where they used a paddle?
Yeah, no, I didn't actually, because I went to school in the 70s in New York City and it was beyond that point. But nonetheless, there still was more discipline than you have today. It just was like night and day. Yeah.
You know, they were using it in the 50s and the 60s, and I was in school in the 60s, okay. And you know, and when it happened, of course, all the kids were really happy. Oh yeah, no more. We're not going to get a paddle anymore. And you could always, take your choice. If you didn't want to take the three swipes with a paddle or five or whatever it was, you know, you could stay late after school, study hall, and stuff like that. But I was going to tell you that I was really glad about it because we had a basketball coach who used a paddle. Hmm. And, you know, when you're playing basketball, you got no protection. You know what I'm saying? And I always remember that the girls, some of the girls were really brave. They said, yes, I'm going to accept the paddle. And they would always wear two or three Levi's at once whenever they were going in to get paddled. But I think it was a good idea to get rid of it, you know. But it was better than calling the cops, probably. Anyway, we got it about a minute before we have to take this next break. And this next story coming up, you know, this is so interesting. And I when I read this, I said, wow, it just goes to show you got to watch out about alcohol. That was sort of like my bottom line, right? Go to college and you get to drink a lot of alcohol. So, listener, you know you want to stand by for that one because this is a wing-dinger here. A girl goes to college normal, all right? Then had to be deprogrammed. Now, I know there's a lot of guys out there that said, I've tried to deprogram a lot of girls before when we were dating, but that's a whole new story. All right. Selwyn Duke, and it is selwynduke.com. We'll be right back.
Now it's time for MedVed's Entertainment Minute.
Michelle Williams and Paul Dano co-star as the parents of a young boy growing up in the 1950s who's addicted to making movies and Steven Spielberg's frankly autobiographical The Fablemans, now playing in theaters.
What kind of movie are we going to make?
You stop making movies, it'll break your mother's heart.
I don't know what to do anymore.
Family, it'll tear you in two.
You do what your heart says you have to.
The cast is consistently superb, including Judd Hirsch in a small part as a visiting uncle. And the substantial film, 2.5 hours long, never lags for a moment with its heartfelt and unforgettable characterizations. The theme that even deeply loving families have their mysteries and surprises combines with a coming-of-age story that will naturally receive intense Oscar attention. Rated PG-13 for some scenes of pain and heartbreak, 4 stars for the marvelous The Fablemans.
What are you so happy about?
I'm on the pill.
Aren't you two a bit old to worry about having more kids?
Not her, me.
You lost me there, buddy.
Steel Man pills. Things weren't always looking up, if you catch my drift. So, my doctor prescribed me a little something.
Like Viagra?
Yeah, but that's expensive, and it wasn't covered by my insurance. Steel Man pills cost me less than $3 a pill, and virtually the same effect. I just called and got over 40 pills for only $99.
I have this friend who might be looking and...
Well, if your friend wants some help, the consultation is free over the phone. No clinic. Steel Man pills sends it in the mail in a confidential package.
I'm on it. I mean, my friend will be on it.
Steel Man pills. Going the extra mile to help men with erectile dysfunction.
800-605-1683. 800-605-1683. 800-605-1683. That's 800-605-1683.
For the getaway of your dreams, come to Hawaii's Playground, Ka'anapali Beach Resort, on the fun side of Maui, where the world comes to play. Find your spot on Ka'anapali Beach with 3 miles of white sand, 12 resort properties, 2 golf courses, and 2 shopping centers. Enjoy the playground of Hawaii's ancient royalty. Ka'anapali Beach Resort is Hawaii's original master planned destination resort and home of the Hawaii Food and Wine Festival. With views of 2 neighboring islands, you can breathe in the land's natural beauty from your favorite resort or golf fairway. Come experience Ka'anapali's own special brand of Hawaiian hospitality with world-class dining, relaxing resorts, water sports, and activities of every kind. For romantic, family, and great friend getaways, discover the options of Ka'anapali Beach Resort, where the world comes to play. Plan your getaway today. Visit KaanapaliResort.com. That's KaanapaliResort.com.
The smartest way for you to get the lowest prices on your plane tickets, domestic or international, International is to call Smart Fares, first or last, but you've got to call us before you book your plane tickets. Fly anywhere in the world, fly anywhere in the U.S., and Smart Fares can save you up to 75% on your plane tickets. We have the lowest airline ticket prices on over 500 airlines, and you've got a great 12-hour free cancellation window. Plus, with our live agent help, you can always get fast help and fast answers. So on your next trip, maybe today, maybe tomorrow, how about right now? Pick up your phone and call Smart Fares. Plus, save up to 75% on your plane reservation. So call right now. 800-915-2644. 800-915-2644. 800-915-2644. 800-915-2644.
Everybody's talking at me. CRN, Chuck Wilder here with my guest, Selwyn Duke, writer for The New American, and the website Selwyn Duke, S-E-L-W-Y-N, Duke, D-U-K-E, .com. And now we get to the one, girl goes to college normal, then had to be deprogrammed. Very interesting reading. Go ahead.
Hi, Chuck. Hi. So, anyway, it's very interesting because there's this apocryphal saying, Chuck, that goes, the teaching in the schools today will be the politics of tomorrow. And that's why it's so dangerous when you see that the left has taken over all of our institutions, including academia. Well, this story here, Chuck, is something that many parents in this country will be able to relate to. And it concerns this young lady, Annabella Rockwell. Well, as she put it, she arrived at college bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. But how did she come out? Not like that. She was unhappy. She was anti-male. She was a social justice warrior. And here's her story. Okay, her mother ultimately had to pay $300 to have her deprogrammed. Okay, but here it is. This comes from the Daily Mail. Rockwell, 29, graduated from Mount Holyoke in western Massachusetts in 2015. Now, I call that Mount Unholy joke, but anyway, continue with the Daily Mail. Quote, prior to attending the elite school to study history, which charges $60,000 a year, Rockwell said she grew up in a traditional household and had considered herself to be open-minded. However, the politics minor claimed the all-women school totally indoctrinated her into thinking she was an oppressed victim of the patriarchy. You know that patriarchy, Chuck? You and I go to those patriarchy meetings they have every year. Of course, there are only two of us left, but okay, quote, this professor tells
me
about
the patriarchy. By the way, I always let Selwyn leave the tip. I just want you to know. Okay, go ahead.
Okay. And now they're quoting this woman, Rockwell.
Yeah.
This professor tells me about the patriarchy. I barely knew what the word meant. I didn't know what she was talking about. I wasn't someone that into feminism. I just knew that I felt I'd always been free to do what I wanted. I never experienced sexism. But I was told there's the patriarchy, and you don't even understand it. It's been working against you your whole life. You've been oppressed, and you didn't even know it. Now you have to fight it. And I just went down this deep rabbit hole, she said. I saw everything through the lens of oppression and bias and victimhood. I came to the school as someone who saw everyone equally. I left looking for injustice wherever I could and automatically assuming that all white men were sexist, unquote. So anyway, Rockwell, she seems like a very nice lady today. She was actually raised in comfort, Chuck. She is an heiress to a pharmaceutical fortune, believe it or not, and quite attractive, too. So I'm sure a lot of guys are going to be looking at her. But she said she was initially taken aback by how anti-male, and unabashedly so, the Mount Holyoke professors and students were. And also there was a drinking culture there.
Yeah.
And by the way, she emerged from that college with a drinking problem. So she picked that up there. And she also, Chuck, described certain rituals they would have. Like, for instance, they would try to eliminate sex roles, what they call gender roles. And one thing they would do is they would have students get something they call the Mohau chop. And that's a haircut. Basically, it's the lesbian look.
Yeah.
So anyway,
you know,
she said she...
Let me ask you, the whole thing about the drinking, you know, was that sort of like their drug pill, you think?
I would say so. I would say so. Absolutely.
Yeah, it's, you know, you get sometimes you get a little crazy, you know, when you drink too much. Not that I would know, of course, yes, but anyway.
There's no way you could know about that, Chuck. Yeah. You were only in the Navy.
Yeah, that's kind of like a heads up right there whenever they say, and now we're going to have a one-hour drinking class, you know. But anyway, we shall continue. It's an excellent story. Yeah.
Since I mentioned that you were in the Navy, Chuck, where does that thing come from where they say this person curses like a drunken sailor? Why do they say a drunken sailor? Where does that come from?
That comes from a, are you ready? A lot of drunken sailors walking around during Liberty, hitting each bar, trying to figure out, you know, in their opinion, which has the best band and probably the cutest girls or the cutest boys. Anyway, so, yeah, it's sailors do drink, you know, because you don't like to drink when you're on the ship because it'll get you seasick. And another reason, it'll get you a big penalty for even drinking alcohol on the ship. So there. And not that I would do any of this stuff, by the way, just in case any of my...
No, Chuck.
Yes.
I'm sure you didn't partake. When you had shore leave, you went right to church. That's what I heard. You prayed, got down on your knees. So
no, actually,
I want everyone to know that. No. And the kids, you remember that?
No. But you were wrong. I did not go right to church. The church was on the left-hand side of the road. So, and I left it right behind as I walked to the closest bar. Oh, what a day. Yes. You've noticed I'm sobering up every time we talk. I'm getting a little better.
Yeah. But anyway, getting back to the story here, and like I said, this is an experience, unfortunately, that many, many parents have. They send a fairly normal child off to college, and he comes back completely indoctrinated, and they lose the child. And that's what initially happened with Annabella. She said that she emerged from Mount Unholy Joke anxious, nervous, and depressed. She had an alcohol problem. And then she turned on her mother. Her mother's name is Melinda. They had once been very, very close, but she actually, Annabella, wrote a manifesto, and she indicted her mom for so many different things. She accused her of being unloving, of reducing her to a wind-up toy, and she said that she thought it was her duty to teach, quote-unquote, teach. She used that word, her mother and everyone else who didn't subscribe to her orthodoxy, the error of their ways. So, and get this, Chuck, this is not going to surprise people who know what's going on in academia, but she also states that Mount Unholy Joke professors actually encouraged alienation, that's the word she used, from parents, okay? She said they would actually go so far as to tell students to, get this, not spend holidays with their parents, but rather to, quote, come stay with us. This is what the professors said.
Boy.
And she said most students, unsurprisingly, embraced this orthodoxy, and that if you didn't, you'd be ostracized. That's what would happen. So there was a lot of pressure to conform. Now, also attesting to this, this was in an article actually in the New York Post, is former congressional candidate Chuck Laura Loomer. She also spent one semester at Mount Unholy Joke. She left. She was bullied for her conservative beliefs. But she said that at this liberal school where everyone was supposed to be so tolerant, you know, they really tout tolerance. She said there was a chat board, a school chat board with a whole thread that was titled, quote, I hate Laura Loomer. And she said, quote, the entire culture there revolved around hating men and being a lesbian. That's how she put it.
Wow.
So, you know, it's interesting, Chuck. Tucker Carlson was talking about this. He said it sounds like a cult, and that's exactly what modern education is. These are left-wing cults. They seek to indoctrinate children. I mean, when you're telling kids, hey, don't go spend the holidays with your parents, spend them with us, and at the same time you're indoctrinating them with left-wing propaganda, there's something very, very serious going on there. And like I said, you know, luckily for this family, the Rockwells, they had enough money. They hired a deprogrammer for $300 a day, and they also recruited Annabella's old tennis coach to help. And Annabella came out of this left-wing morass that she had descended into, and now I think she works with PragerU, and she's happy and successful. But while her case, Chuck, had a happy ending, that's not often the case.
You know, and also I want to remind the listener real quick here. Selwyn was talking about Tucker Carlson had her on as a guest. And if you go to selwynduke.com and look this up, it's a whole list of the stories that he's posted. Girl goes to college normal, okay? Selwynduke.com. Check that check that interview out with Tucker Carlson. It's only about, I think, 6 or 7 minutes long, but it's very eye-opening, put it that way. Yes. Go ahead.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm glad you mentioned that, Chuck. And, you know, I just want to point out something here that I think a lot of your listeners know already, but you have to realize, like I said, unfortunately, most of these kids who are badly indoctrinated don't turn out as well as Annabella did. And you have to realize that today, so-called higher education is a morally deadly farce. That's what it is. These schools are getting by, Chuck, on reputations they earned a century ago. Most American colleges, by the way, were founded as Christian institutions, but they long ago strayed from those foundations. And today, they are left-wing propaganda mills. They are akin to communist re-education camps. That's what they are. And I also mentioned something else.
Real quick, is $60,000 a year, right? That's what they had to pay to get in. And you figure that I imagine a lot of girls that wanted to get deprogrammed and become normal again, they didn't have the money to do what she did, you know, to get the deprogrammer,
so to speak.
So they're running around out there, but they're probably still drinking, so that helps. So, you know, actually, probably does, you know, because it drowns your memories there and all that other stuff. So go ahead. Just wanted to throw
No, absolutely,
there, you know.
Chuck. Absolutely. And I also point out something else in my article. I got a little philosophical, and I'll try to keep this brief because if you get too deeply into philosophy, you probably lose your audience. But, you know, what really makes kids easy prey for this? Well, it's something that I've been writing about for decades, and it's the characteristic philosophical disease of our time, moral relativism, which has swept our nation. You know, I've often cited, Chuck, this Barna Group research study from 2002 that found that even back then, only 6% of teens believed in absolute truth. And what was the method they used to make so-called moral decisions in general? Well, they relied on feelings, what felt right. And why is this a factor here? Because if you don't have the truth to use as your yardstick when making moral decisions, then what happens is you generally fall back on the only yardstick you have left, and it's a very compelling, seductive one, and that would be emotion. That would be your feelings. But here's the thing, Chuck. Feelings change with the wind and can be changed by an ill wind, okay? So you have these young people. They're rooted to nothing permanent. They have no sound moral foundation. Then all the social engineers in college and elsewhere have to do at that point is manipulate their feelings, and they can completely alter their worldview. Now, how do they do that? Well, they do it in large part, at least, by using a few different methods in concert. I have this in my article. First, there's indoctrination with seductive ideology. They'll say things like, "You're a victim." Then there's the application of social pressure that I mentioned, ostracism if you don't comply. Then to enforce it, that's what they do. And then there's seduction into sin, sex, drugs, alcohol, in the case of Rockwell, to ease its acceptance. Now, why is that significant? Well, that's significant because, Chuck, to state the obvious, those first corrupted morally are more likely to accept immoral ideology. And the rule here is simple. A person's moral and intellectual orientations will tend to correlate. You know, Plato, the ancient Greek philosopher, talked about this. He said, ideally, a child should be raised in an atmosphere of nobility and grace, because then when he develops an erotic, and by erotic he meant emotional attachment to virtue, when that child reaches the age of reason, he'll be more amenable to the dictates of reason. But the opposite can also happen. If you inculcate a child with an attachment to vice on an emotional level, Chuck, then when he reaches the age of reason, he will resist the dictates of reason. And that's what we're seeing today. Often when kids get to college, they're like that already. But in college, we see this effort to get kids attached to vice, to corrupt their moral foundation. Because if you can do that, then you create good foot soldiers for the left, because once again, they will be corrupted morally, and they will be very amenable to accepting immoral ideology. And that's exactly what the left is.
Mm. Boy. And, you know, you mentioned the word feelings, remember, you know. Do you remember that song that came out that was such a big hit entitled Feelings?
Yes.
Yeah. He probably went to that school, the guy that wrote that. He snuck in there, had a wig, yes. Sex, drugs, and alcohol, yeah, and high-speed cars. Boy, it sounds familiar sometimes, and I, you know, forget. Mm. But that's, you know, it's almost like you wonder how many other people were able to escape, you know, what she went through. Any idea? I mean, do you think there's any statistics on how many people get out of that school?
I don't know if there are statistics, Chuck, but I can tell you that it's very, very dangerous to send your kids to these left-wing propaganda mills because so many times parents will lose their children. I've written about that in the past where the children become estranged from the parents after college. They just don't talk anymore. And, of course, as I said earlier, when we were talking about not civilizing children, this is part of it. They become actually more uncivilized because, again, they're developing this erotic attachment to vice. Really, these schools, so-called schools, are the worst places you could ever, ever send a child. And to reiterate what I said earlier at the opening, again, what is taught in the schools today will be the politics of tomorrow. You have to remember that. And that's why the left seizure of all of these institutions that control our culture is so destructive. You know, we call that the Gramscian march through the institutions. That refers to Italian socialist Anthony Gramsci. No, I forget his first name, actually, but Gramsci is his last name. And what he said was he tackled this problem of why communism had not taken hold in the West. And he said, well, the problem is that the West's institutions are not conducive to the flowering of communism. So what you have to do is you have to take over those institutions. And he lived around the middle part of the 20th century. But since then, that's increasingly what has happened. And I'm not implying that it's some great conspiracy orchestrated from the top. Look, most of this is done, as Yuri Bezmenov put it, the Soviet defector, by Americans and to Americans. But nonetheless, that's what has happened. The left has taken over our institutions, and in that way it can shape the people. And as Andrew Breitbart said, politics is downstream from culture. If you can control the culture, ultimately you can control the politics. And that's the problem that confronts us.
Selwyn Duke, SelwynDuke.com. And we'll be back to wrap things up in just a moment.
Do you want to fly somewhere? Anywhere in the world? Smart travelers call myflightsearch.com for the best deals on flight tickets. Going to Manila, Bangkok, London, how about Singapore? Call myflightsearch.com for the lowest flight tickets available. What about a local vacation? Let's say you want to fly to Vegas, Orlando, Miami, Los Angeles, or Denver. Pick up the phone and call myflightsearch.com right now. We have exclusive deals that you can't find anywhere else. The only way you can get these low airline prices is by calling us. We have so many low prices available, we can't possibly tell them to you right here and now. If you're flying somewhere anytime in the next 6 months and you want the lowest airline ticket prices anywhere, you owe it to yourself to save a ton of money. So pick up your cell phone and call myflightsearch.com right now.
Call 800-445-3166. 800-445-3166. That's 800-445-3166. Call now. 800-445-3166.
Let's talk about your credit cards. When you first start using them, it's a slow drip. You make charges, then more charges, then bills come, and they keep coming. When you open your statements, the floodgates come pouring in. You realize you have more credit card debt than you can afford, and you're barely making the minimum payments. Wouldn't it be nice to make one affordable payment and have all your credit card bills covered? Make this free call and learn our responsible way to get your credit card bills paid and under control.
Sponsored by Consumer Education Services, a nonprofit organization.
800-876-3643. 800-876-3643. 800-876-3643. That's 800-876-3643.
CESI is not a loan company. The establishment of a debt management plan may adversely affect your credit rating. Non-payment of debt may lead creditors to increase finance and other charges to undertake collection activity, including liquidation.
You order a glass of your favorite Cabernet. Fresh asparagus. Hollandaise on the side. A filet. Medium rare. You unfurl your napkin with a flair. Close your eyes and prepare to listen. Ah, there it is. The sweet music you long to hear. The sizzle. The sizzle of a Ruth's Chris steak.
The most magnificent corn-fed prime beef. Broiled to perfection at 1,800 degrees. Some call it a sizzle. We call it an anthem.
As the waiter approaches, you think, is this one mine or that one?
Ruth's Chris Steakhouse. Like Ruth always said, life's too short to eat anywhere else.
Make a reservation online at rootschris.com or by calling 800-544-0808.
Everybody's talking at me.
CRN, Chuck Wilder, with my guest, Selwyn Duke, writer for The New American, selwynduke.com. And you know, Selwyn, with the few minutes that we have left, I'd like to touch on another one you did. And, boy, I'm going to tell you, I was in the dark on this one and did not. This was the first I heard about it, okay? And are you ready for this, listener? Your president, Biden, actually helped traduce anti-trucker tyranny in Canada. Very interesting. I just was almost like, well, Biden doesn't even know what's going on there. Probably, you know, not at all. But apparently he did something, and Justin Trudeau said, yes, of course, I got to do that because I don't want to upset Joe Biden. Tell him about this one, okay, in the few minutes that we have left.
Yeah, I'll make it brief, Chuck. But this has to do with that Freedom Convoy 2022 protest that they had very early this year. They were protesting against COVID mandates. It was big in the news. Everyone remembers it. And they basically were saying they were going to shut down Canada until these tyrannical COVID mandates were lifted. And eventually, Justin Trudeau, that man-child up in Canada, clamped down hard. He threatened to take these truckers' children away. He shut down their bank accounts. He actually instituted this Emergencies Act, I believe it's called, which had never been done before in Canadian history. It was unprecedented. But now we found out that actually he might have done this at the behest of the Biden administration. He was talking to Biden and to Biden administration officials, perhaps too. And actually, I think he talked to Biden on February 11th, it is. Yeah. And then on February 13th, he invoked that Emergency Act for the very, very first time. And don't get me wrong. I mean, Justin Trudeau, I think, is a narcissist and he is very tyrannically minded. So I don't know how much prodding he needed. But certainly we can see that, unfortunately, our federal government, the one we have now, is behind a lot of tyranny in this world. And it's absolutely shameful, Chuck. And, you know, now that we're talking about this, understand that we have protests also now against COVID restrictions in China.
Yeah.
Some people have heard about that. There have been tremendous protests, but the Biden administration seems to be on the wrong side of that as well. And now we also heard that Apple, which of course works hand in glove with the Biden administration, because now we have this fascist system where we have this nexus between big government and big business. Apple actually tried to hamper the protesters by shutting down some app that they had that they needed to communicate. It's disgusting. We used to try to advance freedom around the world. But now with the people in power, we're on the wrong side. I mean, it's disgusting to think that we're carrying water for this despotic, tyrannical Chinese regime. I mean, that's what's even more shameful.
You know,
really, really horrible, Chuck.
And with both cases, well, I guess the trucker deal, you know, they were worried about not getting some trucks into the United States or something, but apparently not worried too much since they shut down the truckers. But then I don't see how, you know, letting the things that are going on, you know, in China, how that is good for anybody unless you have some special connections In China. Oh, wait a minute. Yeah, I'm talking about Biden, right? Okay, never mind.
Now,
see, I did that.
A lot of palms are being greased.
Turned on my blinker and I made a U-turn there, Selwyn. There you go. Hey, appreciate each and every visit, sir. Look forward to the next one, Selwyn Duke, and it's selwynduke.com, S-E-L-W-Y-N-Duke.com. Thank you very much, Slade. Thank you for listening, and God bless the United States of America.